Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 24. And as you're turning there, you can read along with me from verse 13 through 15, Joshua chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 13. God is speaking through the lips of Joshua. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. The vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you are the God of creation, that you are the Almighty. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who loves us and has sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and for your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We thank you, Lord, for the church to come together in and to sing your praise and to hear from the word of God, to speak with you in prayer. And we ask, my Father, that you might, by your Holy Spirit, open the lips of your servant to speak, in the heart of every person in this place, everyone watching and listening. Father, open our hearts to your word and challenge us today and change us, comfort us and convict us. But Father, do your will, accomplish that which you desire, and we'll give you all the glory and praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As we end one year and begin a new one, we all want and hope that the coming year will be one of goodness and prosperity and peace. We mark our existence by days, weeks, months, and years. It is in the context of time that we live and love and work. Our days are limited. Our time is marked with a finish line. And we are reminded that we're unable to guarantee the quality of our journey or its longevity. James chapter 4, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And yet we live as though we will live forever. And we plan and we plot as though we are in complete control. Oh, the pride of mankind. As we have marked our passage from year past into year future, as we begin this new year on its first Sunday, it behooves us to take note and consider before we step out into a place where we have never been and a time that we know not of, the future. I believe that Joshua and the children of Israel were at such a moment in their lives and in their history here in our text. Behind them was the past, a past of slavery and hardship and indignity. Before them lay the promised land of milk and honey. Exciting prospects await, as well as battles to be fought. And before they should step out into their future, the Lord brings them to a place of decision, a place of choosing. For the decisions which they must make each day will chart the course of their travels, their treasures, and their travails which are to come. And the choices of each succeeding day would hearken back to the choice of this day, this one day that we read about here in our text. And Joshua says, choose you this day. Some decisions are more meaningful and influential than others. For instance, what I choose to eat for breakfast is not as important or influential in my life as who I choose to be my life partner. But the Lord seeks one choice from His people in Joshua chapter 24. Just one choice. And that one choice will affect and influence every other decision, large or small, important or trivial, that is to come. The same question He asks us today, especially those of us who profess to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And that question is this: who or what will you serve from this day forward? Now, in order to make such a decision, it will require several things of us, which it required of them as well. The first thing it will require of us, we find in verse 13, and that is remembrance. Look at verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. In order for the Israelites to make a decision, they must first take the time to remember what they were and where they were before the Lord rescued them. They were in total bondage in Egypt. Look at verse 17. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And the Bible says it was a hard bondage. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 14, and they make their lives bitter with hard bondage. Deuteronomy 26:6. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. Yes, they're going into the promised land, but they must remember the land from which they have been delivered. Yes, they're going to have a new life, but they must look back and remember the life which they were rescued from. And sometimes we need to stop and remember from what and who we have been delivered ourselves. We have been delivered, if we know Christ as our Savior, from sin and darkness and eternal damnation. Colossians 1:13 says about the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, the Bible says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein, we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The Bible says we've been delivered from the law. The law for the Christian has no claim upon us, because we have trusted Christ as our Savior and been delivered from the letter of the law that kills. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Sometimes, dear Christians, we need to stop and remember what we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from the power of sin. We've been delivered from the darkness of this world. We've been delivered from the execution of the law, and we've been delivered from the wrath of God to come. The Israelites in bondage to Egypt is a picture of the bondage of the sinful soul in the world. A bondage from which no one can deliver except God. We must also remember not only from what we have been delivered, but what we have been delivered unto. You see, the Israelites were in bondage to Egypt. They couldn't get out. There was nothing they could do to extricate themselves, to deliver themselves, to save themselves. And we as sinners were lost and on our way to hell, and there was no way we could deliver ourselves from the wrath of God that was just upon us. There was nothing we could do. There was no way we could extricate ourselves from the condemnation of our sin. The only one that could deliver us was the same one who was the only one that could deliver Israel, and that was God Himself. Look at verse 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. The Israelites would enjoy that which they did not plant, and that for which they did not labor. That's the grace of God, isn't it? You know what? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have not only been delivered from the things that I mentioned, but we've been delivered unto the glory of eternal life. We've been delivered unto a new life in Christ. All the fruits and benefits of salvation are by the grace of God, for which no man can labor, work, earn, or deserve. Dear Christian, your blessings are not because of you. They're because of Christ. The good things that you have and enjoy in this life are not because you deserve them. It's because God is gracious and merciful. He gives us things which we do not earn, and He gives us things which we do not deserve. We need to remember that. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, we have our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. God reminds the Israelites, as He reminds us today, that we owe everything we are and everything we have to Him. David saw it this way in Psalm 40, verse 2. He said this, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I remember what I was before I was saved. I remember how I was before I was saved. I remember where I was headed before the Lord Jesus came and rescued me from a life of bondage to sin and an eternity to spend in the lake of fire. I remember. I shudder to think where I would be and what I would be if He had not saved me and made me a new creature in Christ. It makes my skin crawl to think, if He hadn't delivered me from and unto, I remember all that He's done for me. I remember all that He's given me. And I remember all that He's made me by His marvelous grace. I refuse to forget, nor to allow to grow cloudy the picture of the miry clay from which He extracted me and the rock upon which He has placed me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I refuse to forget, because I am what I am, and I have what I have, and I will be what I will be by the grace of God alone. So number one, I choose to remember from whence I have come. And I choose to remember where I'm headed. Number two, we need to have recognition. You see, look at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now they, as well as you and I, needed to recognize that they would serve something or someone. Listen to me. You will serve somebody. We were created to serve. God created us to serve Him. All of creation has been created by God to serve Him. It is who and what we are by creation. And God created us to serve Him, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So if you don't, or you won't, serve God, you will serve somebody. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is taking for granted here that we're serving somebody. He said, you have a master. Everybody, every human being has a master. And they are serving that master. And he said, you can't have two masters. Either you're serving the Lord or you're not serving the Lord. But you're serving somebody. Why? Because you're a created being. You were created to serve, and serve you will. There are many gods, small g. There's only one God, capital G. Look what he said to these people here. He said, you know, you can serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Now that was the religious gods of their forefathers. And this would represent the family religion or family traditions, statues and icons and relics and what have you. And he said, maybe you could serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. That speaks of cultural gods, political gods, economic gods, gods of the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. That's humanism. That's when man deifies himself. That's when we put ourselves at the top of the heap. When we are the king of the mountain. We end up serving man. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We can serve the sinful human nature, can't we? You see, we can serve the gods of religion, or we can serve the gods of culture and the gods of politics and the gods of economics, or we can serve the gods of sin. We can serve man as humanism. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. We can serve our own selfish interests and desires, can't we? Instead of serving God, we're serving ourselves. Indulging ourselves. The word serve means to work. Who do you work for? What are you working for? Let me ask you, Christian, what are you living for? What are you living for? What is your life all about? What are you pursuing? What is the ultimate end, the ultimate of your life? What is it? That's your God. That's your God. Whoever you're living for, whatever you're living for, that's your God. Maybe it's the gods of ease or the gods of employers. Causes. You ever wonder why people have so many causes? Because they have to serve. You ever wonder why mankind has so many clubs and associations and all those things? Because they have to serve. You ever wonder why men volunteer for all these different things? Because they have to serve. You understand? And there are a lot of gods to serve, aren't there? We could go on and on. The Hindus literally have millions of gods to serve. There's no end of gods, small g, that we can end up serving if we're not careful. As Christians, we have one God. Just one to serve. Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. God is saying to the Israelites, now, I want you to remember where you came from. And I want you to recognize, when you go into this promised land, you're going to serve somebody. But I want you to remember who brought you into the promised land. I want you to remember who took you out and who brought you in. Because I'm the one giving you the reward here. And you know what? You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because that's my grace. Dear Christian, you deserve to die and go to hell. That's what you deserve because you're a sinner. But by God's grace and mercy and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, He has forgiven your sins. He's washed you in the blood. He's made you a child of God. And He, by His grace, has given you an inheritance in heaven. He said, don't forget that. But recognize where it comes from. Recognize who gave it to you. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, Jesus said, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Isn't that interesting? Where I am, there's my servant. That's what servants do. Servants serve the master. And wherever you find the master, you'll find the servant. And if the servant isn't right there with the master, it's because he's on an errand that the master has sent him on. It's not because the servant said, hey, you know, I think I'll run off somewhere. And Jesus is helping us understand here. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. We're supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then he says this, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see, there's an honor in serving Jesus, isn't there? And Jesus said, if you will serve me, my Heavenly Father will honor you. So what does that mean conversely? Conversely, wouldn't it mean if you don't serve me, you're without honor? We're told in the Scripture to serve God and to serve one another, Galatians 5:13, but we're never told to serve ourselves. Isn't that interesting? You know, God tells us to love Him and love others, but He never tells us to love ourselves. God tells us to esteem Him and to esteem others, but He never tells us to esteem ourselves. God tells us to serve Him and serve one another, but He never tells us to serve ourselves. And one of these days we're going to serve God in glory. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. You see, we've been made for service. We've been created to serve. And you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve one of the gods of your forefathers or one of the gods of the land in which you dwell or maybe the god of self or maybe the god of sin. But you'll serve somebody. As Christians, we're supposed to serve the Lord. And isn't it interesting that He tells us in the book of Revelation that for all eternity, His servants will serve Him? Why? Because that's what we're created to do. I choose to recognize this truth. I recognize that I will serve someone. I recognize that that someone that I was created to serve is God. And I choose to recognize this truth and I choose to serve the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I choose to remember. I choose to recognize But there was a third choice here. We find that choice in verse 15. And it's resolve. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Here's the resolve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The resolve of Joshua was this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I wonder how much resolve Christians really have in these last days. I look at empty seats and I wonder about their resolve. I see one or two on soul winning and visitation and wonder about the Christian's resolve. On Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights, I wonder about resolve. At special meetings, at watch night service, and Christmas Eve service, I wonder about resolve. I see what Christians do and where they go, and I wonder about resolve. I hear how they talk and how they live and see how they argue and fuss and fight among themselves, and I wonder about resolve. I see standards diminish, and I wonder about resolve. I see churches turning into nightclubs and pastors turning into talk show hosts. And I wonder about resolve. I see ministries tanking. And I wonder about resolve. I see sign-up sheets empty. And I wonder about resolve. And I wonder, where in the world are we in 21st century Christianity? We're hardly keeping the work of God going. Why? Because we're not serving the Lord like we ought to serve the Lord. Somewhere along the line, we've decided we'll serve someone else. Somewhere along the line, we've decided we'll serve something else. We'll put God on the back burner. We'll put somebody else or something else on the front burner. Joshua said, in effect, I don't know what all you guys are going to do, but I know what me and my house are going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. What about your house? What's your house doing? What's your house all about? What's it all about at your house? I mean, why do you do what you do? Why are you, what's it all about? You know what Joshua said? He said, I'll tell you what my house is all about. My house is about serving God. Now you can serve God as a carpenter. You can serve God as a dentist. You can serve God as an electrician. You can serve God as a physician. You can serve God as a bus driver. You can serve God as a teacher. Are you going to get the point? But if being a teacher is your life, you're not serving God. But you can serve God and have teaching as part of your life. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27, the Bible says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. What are you all about? Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Sometimes men are so intent on making money, they're troubling their own house. Their own house is devoid of the more important things than a buck. And some women are tearing down their houses instead of building them up, because they're not building their houses on the Word of God and on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 101, verse 7, the Bible says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. David said, listen, if you're a worker of deceit, you're not even welcome in my house. He said, if you're going to be you're a liar, you can't tarry in my sight. I don't want to see you. What's your resolve regarding your house? What's your resolve? David said, my house is going to be a place where God is honored and where God is glorified. My house is going to be a place where the Word of God is paramount and Jesus Christ is preeminent. Joshua said, my house? No, we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. And I want you to notice he didn't say, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said, as for me and my house. That house means people live in my house. Everybody that's in my house, we're going to serve God. If you don't serve God, guess what? You're not in my house. That's tough, isn't it? But God's God. Sometimes we forget that. Joshua's saying this, I know where I was and where I was. I know where I'm going and what I now am. And you know what? We're serving God. Why? Because he's the one that did it. What is your resolve regarding who you will serve? What is your resolve regarding what kind of Christian you will be? What's your resolve? Do you resolve to be... You know what? I just remembered a commercial I saw. Commercial says, okay is not okay. How many of you have seen that? Huh? So, what's your resolve today? Is your resolve, I'll be an okay Christian. I'll be okay. It's not enough to be okay. The commercial I saw, the guy's laying in a hospital bed. He's going to have an operation. And the nurse is there. And the guy asked the nurse about this doctor. And she said, he's okay. And the guy says, just okay. I don't want my surgeon to be okay. What kind of Christian you resolve to be? Okay? You gonna be an okay Christian? Or you're gonna be a real Christian, a sold out Christian, a living for God, serving God Christian? What kind of Christian are you resolved to be? Listen, dear Christian, as you head into a new year, what will be your resolve regarding who you're going to serve? What is worth your service? What's worth your time? What's worth your labor? What is worth your life? John 6:27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus is saying, make sure you're spending your life on something worthwhile. Make sure you're serving someone worthwhile. Make sure you're making your life and your effort and your labor count for something more than just a temporary earthly thing. How about an eternal thing? I choose to remember. This day I choose to remember. This day I choose to recognize. And this day, the first Sunday of 2020, I choose to resolve. To remember where I was and what I was before Jesus found me. To recognize I will serve someone and to resolve that me and my house will serve the Lord in 2020 by His grace and to the best of my ability. Choose you this day, whom ye will serve. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The people were all excited. They were going to go into the promised land. We're going into the promised land. Praise the Lord, we're going into the promised land. And God said, before you do, choose who you're going to serve when you're over there. Dear Christian, we're going into a new year. Praise God, a whole new year awaits us. But God is saying to us this morning, choose who you're going to serve when you get there. Maybe today there's someone in this room as a Christian. And you know that you you need to serve God more this year than you did last year. Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." In 2020, you will find or you will lose. It all depends on who you choose. Choose God. And maybe today you're here in this place and you've never been rescued from your sin. You've never been saved from the wrath to come. You've never been born into God's family by grace through faith in Christ. But you must choose. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You must choose between heaven and hell, eternal life and eternal damnation, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, or the gods of this world. And maybe this morning you say, "I need to choose Christ. I need to ask him to be my Savior right now, right where I'm seated." You say, "Preacher, I need Jesus." Would you lift your hand up and say, "Would you pray for me, preacher? I know I'm here, and I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me." Anybody like that here today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercy. We thank you for your love and for your grace. Thank you for rescuing us. And thank you for delivering us from and delivering us to. Help us to remember, help us to recognize that we're serving somebody all the time. And help us to choose this day whom we will follow, or whom we will follow more closely and more sincerely in the year to come. Help us to bring ourselves before the altar of God and present our bodies as living sacrifices. Guide us and direct us, my Father. We'll thank you and praise you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 235. Number 235. Today is a day of choosing. Maybe this morning you'd like to come and get before the Lord and say, "Lord, I choose to remember you're the one that delivered me. I choose to remember that and recognize that I will serve somebody, and I choose this morning that me and my house will serve you." Maybe you need to come, Christian, and say, "Lord, I need to serve more fully, more completely." I don't know what it is, but you do, and God does. Why don't you come as we sing on the first?